Hey everyone, welcome back to But Why Though, the podcast. The podcast where every week, myself, Adrian, and Matt talk about the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, if you haven't rated, reviewed, and subscribed to us on iTunes or wherever you're listening, please pause and go do it. It really helps us out and it's the easiest way to support us. But if you want to support us a little bit more, head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/butwhythoughpc. And as always, enjoy the show. Welcome back to But Why Though, the podcast, and today we're doing an amazing crossover episode with Carolyn from So Here's What Happens. I'm Kate, and...
I'm Carolyn.
And we're going to be talking about K-dramas today, and talking about how great they are, and our favorites, and everything that we can fit into an hour's worth of content. Although I'm sure we can make like 10 different episodes on all the K-dramas.
For sure.
For sure. So why don't you give everybody a rundown on where they can find you and where you're from?
Okay, so you guys can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at CarrieCNH12, CarrieCNH12. I'm always on Twitter. You can also find our podcast, or Here's What Happened, on the But Why the Podcast community internet page. And yeah, those are the main places you can reach me. I'm always tweeting about film, television, and randomness, and yeah, no, K-dramas a lot, like a lot of K-dramas. You'll find me talking about them a lot.
And to start off the show, I want to say that Carolyn brought me into this beautiful world of K-dramas.
You're welcome.
So we can start here, and just if we want to talk about like the first show that we got that got us into it. And
okay, so for me, what started me in Korean dramas was, years ago, back in my Barbados, I saw like a couple, don't ask me the names, I don't remember, but they're like the old school K-dramas, and I always remember the tropes about if someone started coughing randomly or got a nosebleed, you knew they were gonna die. Like, that was such a trope. Like, some people just randomly get a nosebleed, you'd be like, she has a brain tumor. Or they start coughing.
Oh my gosh.
You're like, you're like, she's gonna die. That was years ago, so then I didn't watch any because we didn't have the channels anymore. And then, like, 2 years ago, I watched, 2017, I was like, okay, you know what? I want to get back into K-dramas. And the first one I tried watching was Stronger Dubongsun. And I say try because I could not get into how they do the shows where, like, you have the sound effects and, like, you get, like, the little, like, you literally see, like, emojis and hard eyes and this kind of stuff. And the graphics, and I couldn't wrap my head around it. So I kind of, like, cut out, like, within 20 minutes of the first episode. But then I tried Black. And I love Black. Black is, like, a supernatural, it's fantasy, but I think it's more of a supernatural horror genre show.
And yeah, because it's like a Grim Reaper.
Yeah, so he's a Grim Reaper, right? And that one, and I'm going to look up the name. I should have looked him up before, because the actor is so damn fine.
Oh, he's gorgeous in that all black suit.
That's what hooked me. I am not going to lie to you. That is what hooked me. And so, I should have probably looked this up before, but it literally didn't occur to me to mention it before. And it's available on Netflix. So that's how I got into it. Okay. I'm going to have to talk. I'll talk about it later because I can't find the link for it now. But I watched that. And then I watched a period show with starring the same actor called Samdang. And it's a period present day kind of thing because it's like kind of like time travel. And it was done really interesting. And the cinematography is beautiful. So I got back into it. So then I got back. I said, I'm going to give Stronger Dubongsun a second try. And I was hooked from then. That was what caught my attention.
For me, you gave me the recommendation. I had asked for some romances because I was, every now and then I go through these like ebbs and flows of I want to watch horror, but now I really just want to watch romances between people, and anime wasn't working. I was like, man, you know what? I've seen Carolyn post about these K-dramas, and I've listened to the show, and she's recommended a few, and I'm just going to ask her, and I asked you for some good romance ones, and one of the ones you told me was Something in the Rain.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to try this one. And I tried it, and from the first episode, and the moment young Hae-in comes on screen, I'm like, oh, be still my heart. I am in love with you. You adorable cinnamon bun. You are perfect.
He is adorable.
You are too pure for this world, and you deserve everything. And I have not stopped watching them since. And we're going to talk about, I have a lot less experience in the world of K-drama than Carolyn, so my list is much shorter. So we're going to get into some of the ones that I've watched after. Mm. But it was one of those that it definitely, for me, felt like a little overwhelming. Like, oh my God, there's so much material here. I don't know where to start. And so kind of having you give me that rec list really helps me. Okay, I'm going to take these recs. I trust your taste. Let's go. So if you're listening and you have not started K-dramas, but you're really, really interested in getting into them, I say trust our taste. We're going to talk about some really good ones today. And I can promise that all of mine are available on Netflix or Hulu because I have not. I've only had a Viki subscription for a day.
But it is totally worth it.
Exactly. My watch list is already super long.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so let me give you the name of the actor for Black. So the main actor is Song Seung-hyun, and the main actress is Go Ara. Now, I know him from a few other K-dramas, and he's also in one that came out recently called The Players, and that one is more of a, they're like a group of, it's, think of like Ocean's 11, but actually better, and funnier, honestly, it's hilarious, but it's like serious and dark at the same time. Yeah, so that one is also available on Viki. Right, so let's get into it. So which one should we talk about first?
Do you want to talk about Nuna romances or fantasy?
Let's do Nuna, because since we both have similar references for fantasy, let's do Nuna's first. So,
okay,
for anyone who does not know, a Nuna romance is a romance between either a woman who is of same or closely aged to the male love interest or older. So Nuna means older sister in Korean. So a Nuna could be a woman that you could be related to. She's like your old sister directly, or she's a woman that you respect, or someone who's older than you. And in Korea, like age means a lot. Like if someone is just a year older than you, they get seniority. So a Nuna is a female who's older, right? So that's what they call Nuna romances. And the first one I want to talk about is Something in the Rain, which is one that Kate mentioned. And this one stars Jung Hae-in as So John Hee. So he's the main lead. And the female lead is Son Yi-jin as Yoon Jin-ah. Now, the reason I watched Something in the Rain is because of the male lead, Jung Hae-in. Because I saw him in Goblin, which is my all-time favorite K-drama. And he had a small part. Like, he was just literally a cameo. But I was like, who is this cutie pie? He's adorable. So that's why I started watching it. And so the premise of Something in the Rain, which came out in 2018 and is available on Netflix, is the series explores the relationship of two people as they go from being just acquaintances, which actually isn't true because they were like closely
siblings,
right? Because they grew up together.
Yeah.
To a genuine...
Yeah, Jun Hee was pretty much like adopted.
Basically,
by
but so to a genuine couple. So Yoon Jin-ah, which is the female lead, is a single woman in her 30s who works as a store supervisor in a coffee shop. Despite being... And I would... So, okay, so let me explain something before I go on. So sometimes for the plot synopsis you might find on some websites, they're either incomplete or to me they don't say enough about what the story is or the characters, because I wouldn't say a coffee shop because it's actually a conglomerate. So think of it like a Starbucks. And the one for this show is called Coffee Bee. And she works for the head office. So it's like, not just a coffee, to call it a coffee shop kind of like downplays her actual job description.
She's actually like a corporate
woman. So she actually works in the corporate environment, and she goes to like different to different locations to like manage the locations if they have problems. So like she has a pretty important job. And then it goes on to, despite being an easygoing person, she lives a rather empty life. She suddenly feels romantic feelings towards her best friend's younger brother, So Joon-hee, which is played by Jung Hae-in, a designer at a video game company who just returned from working abroad, i.e. the States. So this show, where do I begin? One of the things I love about this show is how they immediately place you into into Yoon Jae-na's life. So you see her working, you see her getting ready for work, you see that she lives with her parents, that she goes to work, and she has co-workers that some she gets along with and some she doesn't get along with, which is, you know, typical corporate life. But then she's walking to work one morning, and she sees this guy on a bicycle, and he's just riding, and he rides past her, and then he comes around. And this to me is like, one thing I love about film is how a director can use one scene to encapsulate like the whole entire premise of a film or TV show. And this one scene literally encapsulates their relationship. She's walking and going about her life, and he literally just rides past her and loops back around and just changes everything for her. And like, for them, it starts out as like, they rekindle their friendship, and it's like, you know, not necessarily a little brother and older sister relationship, but there's like that playfulness because they're comfortable. They're immediately comfortable around each other. It's like he never left. And I love that about them. That's one of the things I love about this couple. They're comfortable with each other, which is something you don't see often. Like, there's no antagonism. There's no hesitation. It's like they joke around, they play. And I love the fact that he plays with her, which is one of the things. There's two other shows that I love, and it's the same thing. Like, they're comfortable with each other. And I love that the director and the writers gave them that space and that time to just be people and just be comfortable. Like, I just love to see people just like happy. And because I'm the kind of person, I would sing karaoke. If you want to play board games, I would play board games. I would take a Nerf gun and I would chase you around the office, which is a scene which is something that happens in the show. And that's like me. That's like the kind of thing. Everything doesn't have to be serious.
Yeah. And that was something that like immediately drew me into the show, was one, there was a realness between them. It didn't seem manufactured or fake. I mean, obviously it's a show, but like the acting behind it, there was an empathy built between each other, between them, and built between the audience and the people they were watching, because they balance each other so well in that Jin-ah is like this really like, she's logical and she's working and that's it. And a lot of it is because she hasn't given herself the ability to go beyond it because of familial restraints and familial filial piety, essentially. So like needing to be there for her family, live for her family. She didn't live life for herself. And then you have Joon-hee come in, and Joon-hee is like, he's just a ball of sunshine. Like, that is how I describe him.
He just makes you smile every time he comes on screen. He literally smiles like, oh my God.
And he has like these big ears. So when he smiles, his ears move a little bit. It's just so cute. I love him so much.
But he's still sexy. Don't get it twisted, people. He is sexy. Like, whew.
He is. And he's able to balance those two things. But like, this is what's really good about it, is that like, it feels like a real romance, because like when you're going through the joy with them, it's real joy, and they exhibit it. They're especially Joon-hee. He's jumping around like a little kid, and he's giddy and he's happy, and Jin-ah kind of expresses it a different way, but you still see it where like there's this happiness shining through this like this more tough exterior. Yes. Like, one of my favorite scenes is when she is just dancing in the office at night. and then Joon-hee walks in, and he just kind of watches her a little bit, and there's like, he just looks at her like, he looks at her with so much love and like,
I love that scene so much.
Just happiness for the fact that she's letting herself be a little bit free. And on the contrast, when they go through problems and when they go through like sadness and a low, you feel that reflected in both characters. And it's one of the things that really made me know that K-dramas were going to be closer to actual like emotions and stuff. And they have their own tropes. Like this is
we'll get into them.
Yeah. But what I loved was Joon-hee was a character who felt all types of emotion. He cried and he yelled and he didn't, how do I explain it? I guess I'll explain it kind of like I did in my my K-drama article that I wrote for the site. Like, just when you see American romances, a lot of the times, like, when the guy is having a problem in the relationship, he goes and he punches a wall and he walks out of the room. And you don't actually get a lot of time to focus on his character's involvement in the relationship. Yeah. But what Something in the Rain does is you get to see what both of them are putting into it. And what both of them are taking out of it and how they feel, which just hit me so hard. Like, this is just amazing. Like, I feel like they're real.
Yeah, I do.
And I mean, Jung Hae-in is just a great actor and he's adorable.
Both of them are great. Like, they have, I think of all of the K-dramas that I've watched, they're probably in my top four couples for chemistry,
for their chemistry.
I want them to be in another show, and heck, if they want to do a sequel, I want them, because for some K-dramas you get like a second season, and I want them to either do a second season or someone put them in another show together. Like, they have amazing chemistry. But I think to your point, where you connect to them, I think one of the things about that is how the show is shot. The director and the cinematographer and the DP do an amazing job with camera placement. And one of the things I've noticed with a lot of the newer K-dramas, probably the ones from the last 5 years, there's a lot of attention being placed on how things look aesthetically. And it's like, for this show in particular, it feels like you're right there. There's scenes when they're in the room, the living room, for instance, it feels like you're sitting across from them watching them. The camera doesn't feel isolated, it doesn't feel like you're observing them. It feels like you're like just there and watching these two people fall in love and together. And one of my favorite scenes is when he gets the umbrella. And I thought that was like the smoothest move I've ever seen a man do, where he went to buy two umbrellas and he bought one. And they're just like walking down the street and like the rain is falling and they have this red umbrella and like there's just this glow, like this glow on them. I'm like, oh, it's so beautiful. But then another thing I love about this show is with their emotions, like each character is allowed to express themselves. No one, but the two of them in particular, because there's other characters, there's auxiliary characters that do undermine them, their emotional stakes and their feelings. Like his sister and her mom in particular are very condescending and they devalue their feelings. But between Eugenia and Sojourney, they allow each other to, if they're both angry, they don't try to say you need to calm down. They're like, if you're angry, you be angry. If you're sad, you be sad and I'll just be here for you. If you're happy, I'm gonna be happy with you, right? And I appreciate that about the two of them. That's like why they're in my probably top four couples. But then going off from that, the other thing is with dealing with lunar romances, a trope that I've noticed is, and this is going out through all of them, especially for the old ones, the male is always seen to be more mature, emotionally more mature than the woman. And normally that bugs me. Like, she's older. Like, between the two of them, Sojourney, from what I calculate, he's about 27, because she's the same age as his sister, so she's 10 years older, so she's about 36, 37. And he is more mature and she does seem more immature, but for her there's a reason, and that's because of her parents. The way she grew up, especially with her mom never built her self-confidence. Her mom never said anything to like encourage her, so like the fact her lack of confidence actually makes sense to me, and I actually kind of related to that. So I'm like, okay, I can see why you doubt that this man loves you, why you doubt that this guy is going to be in love with you, especially if he's younger. She's going to think, I'm getting older, you when I'm ready for kids, you might not be ready for kids. So there's that. So there's always that discussion with lunar romances. And so then, like, to go on then to my second favorite lunar romance would be, which is also, and leading off from that is a witch's romance. So these are probably my top 2 K lunar romances, which would be Something in the Rain, You know, I need to switch it up because I have to talk about Encounter. Let me. You know, no, I want to come to A Rich's Romance because A Rich's Romance, we don't talk about a significant age difference is A Rich's Romance. So this one, like, there's a 14-year age difference. So, yeah, I think this one is the biggest age difference that I've seen in a K-drama. And I thought it was pretty damn handled really well. So the female lead is played by Jung-hwa, and she plays Ba Ji-yeon. And the male lead is Park Soo-joon. Hey, boo. he is so cute. And he's the guy from What's Wrong with Sakura Day Kim. So it's the same lead actor.
This all makes sense. Oh, yes, it is. Because I clicked... So the cool thing is on Viki. And Viki, because I know it's insane, Viki is a streaming platform that you can watch K-dramas on. Viki, they'll give you the name of the actor, and then you can click it, it'll give you all the stuff.
All their filmography, too, which solves
so many problems for me. No Wikipedia needed. I just drop them all into what I want to watch.
So
now.
He's also, Sakura Kim is probably one of my favorite romance dramas, too. So he plays Yoon Dong-hwa. So he's 25 and she's 39. So there's a 14-year age difference. So the reason I segued into this is because there's such a big age difference. Like there needed to be a discussion about children, about career paths and that kind of stuff. And for me, I think this show handled it the best out of any that I've seen so far. Perfect Encounter, but Encounter was slightly different in the fact that she was like, okay, I'm at this stage in my life. I'm 39 years old. I know what I am. I'm doing the job because she's a magazine reporter. She's the lead reporter for a magazine and the head editor. She's like, I have the career I want. I am where I want to be. There will be chances for advancements, whatever. And she's like, you're now starting your life. You're 25. You dropped out of college because of something that happened. And I won't spoil it for people because that's half the fun of these K-dramas is figuring out what the big tragedy in his life was that caused him to drop out of medical school. you know, there's always
that
a tragedy.
That is always good. That is always good. And that was also one of the reasons why I liked Secretary Kim so much. It was because, like, that trauma just kept, like, weaving. And I'm like, I don't know where this is going, but I'm highly invested. And I need to know the answer.
You need to. So
what is this tragedy?
Right. So before you continue, I will try my best not to spoil major plot points for these shows. Because those are one of the things about K-dramas I love is the plot twist. Oh, my. Some of them have, like, some amazing plot twists. And it's like, you're like, that? Where did this come from? What? How?
Yeah. You know, they're like better done, they're better done novellas to me, right? Because some of like the twists and turns that happen are pretty out there, but like I'm all there for the
I know,
ride.
Right? And some of you can predict,
and they're like better acted. Yeah.
But it's like still, you're like, this is part of the joy of it.
It's so good. It's so good though. Like, and that's the thing, because like I grew up on soap operas and telenovelas and stuff. And so I'm like, this is good, but the production value is way up, and the boys are way cute.
Mm-hmm. Listen, let's be real. Right? And so for them, so their big thing is like, because she's already at a place where she's comfortable in her career and everything, and he has to decide, what does he want to go back to medical school? And if he does, it's going to be like 8 years for him to become a specialist, and it's like, that's going to be time away from the relationship, but that's going to put more, you know, strain on the relationship. So 8 years, is he going to want to have a child in the time that he's at school? So, like, they have those kind of discussions, and I appreciated that. And another thing about this couple is, like, with Something in the Rain, like, they're playful. And they also have, like, good God. There's their kisses. Their kisses. Listen. If you've never seen a show with Park Seo-joon, this man, when he kisses, he gets all into his kisses. Appreciate that. Like, don't stand there like a statue, barely touching lips, like there's a plank of wood between the two of you. No, he gets all into it, and the both of them get into it. And I'm like, praise be. I appreciate this. Because I got flustered a few times. I'm like, whew, okay.
Well, when I saw him in Sakura Day Kim, the first time he kisses, after, like, the build-up, I'm just like, oh my God, this man knows how to kiss.
Yes, him.
I like
this. So, Park Seo-joon, oh my gosh, the guy from Jin-wook, Park Jin-wook from Healer, also the K2. That's the same guy, the one I sent you. Their kisses, they have some of the best cave. Like, I know we're like going on like little mini tangents, but this is necessary. Okay, this is necessary. their kisses are important to mention. They deserve mentioning, right? Because like, if you watch some of the older K dramas, like the kisses that some of these people do is like, am I supposed to feel something? Are you supposed to be making me?
Yeah.
Like, no.
I mean, and that's the thing, and I don't, and we'll come back to this romance, but since we're in, like, this romantic chemistry,
this is a part of it, right? You're talking about the chemistry, like, of the couples and everything, so this is part of it.
Exactly, and that was something that that stands out for me with Something in the Rain over other ones, was when they're in the middle of the romance, there are these, like, really, really intimate scenes in the apartment that range from being super, super playful, and it's a super small apartment, and they're adorable. Yeah. To like actual like intimacy.
Yes. Yes.
They're like, this is so good. And it's well done. It's not graphic. It's not like in the States, which is perfectly fine. But what I like about the Nuna romances is because I think because they're older women, you're allowed to have more of this passion than say like some of the younger couples that I've seen. Mm-hmm. And I really, really enjoy it because, I think a lot of it comes because I'm very thirsty.
Listen, I have no shame on it because as I mentioned in my introduction, I do thirst threads on Twitter and I have no shame. Like the male body is amazing, and like I watch a lot of TV and a lot of film, and when I can see actors, like, we know it's acting, but when they're trying to make you appreciate the characters, that is all a part of it. Because if I'm watching a romance, I want to feel like I'm watching a romance. I don't want to feel like I'm watching like these two people, and I'm like, because I've stopped watching dramas for couples. I'm like, I feel nothing for you. Therefore, I will find something else to watch. I've dropped dramas in like the middle of episodes. I never got back because I'm like, you bore me. Right? So I'm like, why am I going to invest my time in something I don't enjoy?
I just want to see you on a bad date and be like, you bore me. Like, and getting up and watching.
I'm like, you bore me. Fine, I'm going to find another drama to watch. Right? So, but that's the thing. That's the other thing about this couple in a witch's romance. Like, they do have their arguments. Like, they have some, like, really good arguments. And, like, even though, and there's a thing. So we're going to get into tropes. I'm going to get into a little bit of my negative tropes about Nuna romances. Because a witch's romance and encounter. And encounter is going to kind of fall into this. And is going to get into why one of my problems with Nuna romances. Okay. So the thing with a lot of the Nuna romances, especially the older ones, like, because the guy is younger than her, they always do this thing where they're trying to infantilize them, where they're trying to make them, they always be like, oh, you kid, you baby, I raised you. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, that frustrates me. I'm like, he's still a man. He's not 20. He's not whatever. He's still a man. He may be 8, 10, 13 years, but he's still a full grown man with a job. Like, why? Like, that frustrates me. And so that's like, in A Witch's Romance, like, she cut that out quick. Like, he set her straight. He's like, listen, am I not a man? Like, when you kiss me, were you kissing a boy or were you kissing a man? I'm like, yes. Yes. And in Something in the Rain, like, he did the same thing. He said, he's like, do I seem like a man when I'm like, when you look at me, who are you seeing? I'm a man. Get it right. Get it tight. Like, and I appreciate that because a lot of the old ones, like, they'd be like, kid, I'm calling them kid. And like, that was my biggest problem with one called What's Up Fox. Annoy the hell out of me. Like, she kept doing that for like up until almost the last episode. He was like, can you cut it out now? Like, because there's this whole, like, frustrate me. But so that's why I love Something in the Rain. That's why I love A Witch's Romance, is how the couples develop. So they develop very naturally. If they have problems, obstacles, they both work at them. Now, my other top K-drama is Encounter. Now, this is one that finished recently. And my God, is this show beautiful. Because it starts in Cuba. And I was in Cuba like a few years ago. And I'm like, I know these set locations and I appreciate it. But the cinematography, and I talked about it a lot on Vicky. Because with Vicky, you can like comment. You know, it's kind of like tweeting, like, you can comment and stuff. And I just kept, everyone, like, not only me, but everyone kept talking about the cinematography. Like, this film is one of the most beautiful, beautifully shot things I've ever seen. It's like that. It's right up there with Goblin and while you were sleeping for me for cinematography and editing. Yeah. Like, the editing for this show is flawless. And for while you were sleeping, to me, if I had to go strictly on aesthetics for a K-drama, it would be While You Were Sleeping on Goblin would be tight. Because I think the scene transitions, okay. I think the editing in While You Were Sleeping is like some of the best, like that's cinema level editing there.
Yeah. It is every piece, and I think for me, when it comes to that, it's While You Were Sleeping and Mr. Sunshine.
Which I still have not watched, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it helps too, because Mr. Sunshine, they're hour 30-minute episodes.
Oh, they're that long?
They're 24 hour and 30-minute episodes. It's a lot of time, but they're movies. Like, it's so good. And that's something that, like, it's also like this, like you're talking about, like this the filmic quality mm-hmm. to the K-dramas and the romances specifically. It's made it really hard for me to go watch American television, so like especially like DC now. TV or CW shows. I'm like, this is so bad. You're not even trying right now. And I appreciate it for what it is. Like, I loved Rain. I loved Rain so much. But going from something like While You Were Sleeping to American television is such a giant gap that it is extremely hard.
A lot of people don't believe me when I say that until they start watching K-dramas, especially, as I said, a lot of the newer ones, probably the last decade, up to 5 years, the production quality is insane. Like, especially for the sci-fi ones. In the sci-fi, like, to me, I think one of the best ones for production quality would be Healer. That I've seen, Healer and Memories of Alhambra. No, that show pissed me off because of the ending, but I will give them production quality. Like, the VFX and the editing and the set design and everything is amazing in that show. That's all I would say about Memories of Alhambra, because, yeah, such a disappointing ending.
Oh my god,
Yoon Bin deserved better. Binny. He deserved better than that. The ending was so frustrating.
I'm gonna be hurt so.
Yeah, right. So going back onto production quality, now Encounter, which started airing in 2018 and ended in 2019, so this is February, so ended in January. So this stars Song Ye Kyo as Cha Soo Yun and Park Bo Gum, Bo Gummy, hey, another cutie, as Kim Jun Yak. Now, this is gonna be the last new one I talk about, because then we're gonna go and talk about fantasy. I love this show. So I talked about the production quality, but one of the things I love about this is this couple is another one that has really good chemistry, but it's like not necessarily for, yeah, to me they have like sexual tension and chemistry, but for me, for them, I think, I don't know, for me they have a really special, I get a completely different vibe from them. It's like, I want to be friends with them. I'm like, I want you to be real. You know, so you watch a film or a TV show, you're like, I wish this was reality. That's for me is like this. I wish this couple was real. I wish their friends were real. I wish this couple, I want to work for her company, her hotel chain, because everyone looks fun. I just want them, I wish they were real, because I'm like, my booze, my cinnamon rolls, I want to protect you. To me, they just give me like a really different view from a lot of other couples. And I can't put my, it's like their sexual chemistry, but they're kind of like the couple from Something to Rain, where they're all, he's, okay, so her, so she's a little bit more reserved, because her background is, she's a politician's daughter, so, and she married this Chobol, which is a guy, so a Chobol is a male heir to a company, so like, you can have a company or a conglomerate, and a Chobol will be like the person who would inherit the chairman's position, so they come from money, they're raising money, they're expected to keep living in money. So she married this guy to help her father's political career, and then they got divorced. And so, but her, for her, just like, so she's very similar to Jenna from Something in Rain, in the fact that her mother never gave her much encouragement. Like, her mother always found something to complain about, so she was always very self-conscious. Even though she's a CEO in a hotel, like, she invested into this hotel and she built this thing. It was like falling apart. And so in her divorce, she got the hotel as her divorce settlement. She didn't want money. She's like, give me the hotel and I'm going to like take care of it. So she did all of her research. She built this thing practically from the ground up. And so she's a CEO. She's a fantastic businesswoman. But for her personal life, she has no self-confidence in herself as a woman, right? And then but for the male lead, he is Jin Yeok, now played by Park Bo Gum. Now, I'm trying to remember the age difference. 6-7 years. Because he was 29 and she's 36. So for him, he's very fun and easygoing. When things need to be serious, he gets serious in like a heartbeat. He'll be like, oh, I can be playful and fun, but if something goes wrong, he's very manly. Like he's the kind of person that people would underestimate because he has like a young face, or he seems so fun. I think people think that he's a walkover, but he's not. And I love that about his character. I think the writers did an amazing job building this character where in a flash he would be like, I'm ready to knock someone out if I need to.
That's what I loved about Haein in Something in the Rain. Like, he just went from adorable man to I'm going to protect my woman. Just like at the top of a hat. And for some reason, like, so one, Encounter is on my list already. But hearing you describe him makes me want to watch it even sooner. Because like the ability of an actor to be able to switch and do those two things and still maintain a sense of self. Like, not everybody can.
And he doesn't make it overbearing, like where he's trying to be extra macho. He's like, no, this is who I am. I can be both soft and hard if I need to be, right? And I love that about his character, because for the female lead, for Soo-yeon, she underestimated that about him too. But then she quickly learned, like, I need to stop underestimating this man because he's not a kid. He's a man, right? And like, he introduces her to things like art. Like, they have, like, he loves photography and art, and he helps her to see. He gives her confidence, but he supported her enough for her to become confident in herself. He's like, you can do this. Like, and I love when you have characters like where you have male characters who are like, I'm not going to do anything for you. I'm going to encourage you to do this because I know you can do it yourself. Right. And I love that about his character. And so for me, the difference between these characters and the one is Something in the Rain. Cause my biggest problem with Something in the Rain is the mother. She ruined that show for me. Like, take her out, that show would have been 10-10 for me. But the mother, oh my gosh, that was the biggest flaw in the show. The writers kept her being, forgive my language, but a bitch.
For way too long. There's no growth. She is just constantly that
from beginning to flipping end, right? And but they kind of do a switch to that in Encounter, where it's like he puts his mother in her place, right? He's like, and she does it too, because her mother's the same way, but he's like, I love her, and he's like, I love her like I love you, and he's like, if you want me, and he's like, if I respect her the same way I respect you, and he's like, you need to accept that this is the woman I love, and you need to accept that this is, I'm not gonna give up on her. And the way, and he didn't do it in an insulting and disrespectful manner, but he was like, he was firm. He's like, I'm not going to give up on her. Yeah. So you need to get with the program or deal with it, or like that's on you. He's like, there's no compromise. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. He's like, it is what it is. So whether you deal with it or not, that's your business. And I love that about it. Because the thing with the Korean dramas is there's very few mother characters that I like. And his mother is one that I liked her, then I hated her guts. But then I liked her at the end, because she started her shit out and she was like, you know what? I love my son. If I want to keep my son in my life, this is what I need to do. So that's one of the other things. I love how they develop. All the characters get almost like a full arc. And there's a thing with her ex-husband. Now, he was a pleasant surprise. And he actually made me, I'm like, you know what? You deserve love too. Because normally you would hate the exes. But I was like, you know what? I want you to find happiness. You deserve happiness because you're not a complete bastard. You know, you have redeeming qualities. All you need to do is get away from your mama and find a woman who loves you, because she don't love you, because Soo-yeon does not love you, man. So let that ish go.
And that's kind of this, like, really goes in. This goes in well into like what my other favorite Nuna romance is. Because in I Need Romance, so I Need Romance or In Need of Romance.
That's the third on one, right? Because there's three. Because there's I Need Romance 1, 2, and 3. Exactly. So the one you're telling me about is 3, yeah. Right? Yeah,
it's 3. So there's 1, and then 2 is called I Need Romance 2012, which I like that one a lot too, but for different reasons. And then I Need Romance 3 is a Nuna romance. in that you have Shin Ju-yeon, played by Kim So-yeon, and then Ju-won, played by Sung Jun. And essentially, Ju-yeon was the caretaker of this kid. They weren't necessarily friends, but his parents were really, really wealthy. Ju-won's parents were super, super healthy, wealthy. And when his mom, who's like really, really successful and is always working, wasn't there, Ju-yeon would take care of him. And so as a kid, he ends up leaving when he's 9 to go to the States. But while he's there, he develops his first love. And so when he thinks back on this time, he sees this beautiful friendship, and she taught me what love is and all of this. But when Ju-yeon thinks back of it, she remembers having to walk in the snow with this baby attached to her back because she had to make money. And it was completely different. And to her, he was just this sniveling little kid that she called sweet potato because he looked like a grilled sweet potato. And so the really, really cool thing that happens, and it happens like the first two episodes, is he comes back and he is a pop star now, or like not a pop star, but like a DJ. And he goes by the name Alan, and she is just infatuated. Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, I love you, Alan. But then he reveals, I'm actually Ju-won. Oh, and she's like, oh no, sweet potato, I can't do this. I know. And so the entire thing is him just like kind of patiently waiting and being there for her. Like, he lets her make her mistakes, and he lets her do her, because she has essentially sealed herself off because she's been in so many relationships that she's just like, I can't do this anymore, and I've accepted that I am a terrible person. Trash. But and we've all been there at some point. Like, it's me. It's me. I know I've been there, and it was really identifiable because it's like at some point you just start pushing people away before they leave to protect yourself. But no matter what she does, he's always there. And the really good thing in I actually haven't watched the first I Need Romance, but in both of the, in I Need Romance 2012 and in this one, I Need Romance 3, everybody has their own romance plot going on, all of the characters, and they're all really fleshed out, and you get invested in all of them. And it's really, really well done, and I really liked their dynamic, except there were a lot of points. The only thing I didn't like was, I'm like, really, Ju-yeon? He is making you food, and he just bought all of this stuff for your house that you're living in together, and now you're taking credit for all the stuff he's done in your house to win this other guy over. What the hell are you doing?
She did that.
And he is hot, and he has like an 8-pack, and you're messing around over here. But it's really well done. The ending is great. I mean, it's pretty predictable. Like, there aren't any big soapy turns or anything like that. It's really straightforward, but I enjoy it. It was really good. And just kind of, it goes back to like that trope that you're talking about where like they just keep infantilizing, the guy. And it bugged me in this one a lot. But when they reveal that it's like, oh, she actually has terrible memories of their childhood because she was working. Yeah. She was not, like, just his friend. And then it's like, okay, all of this kind of makes sense now. So they did a good job to kind of rectify that.
Right. I watched the first episode because I think that I got to the part where he called her as himself. And she was like, oh, I don't have time for you. She hung up the phone. I think that was the part that I got. She was like, stop bothering me. And then he was going to move into her house as the DJ because he was moving under his name. So that's the part I got to in the first episode. But because right now I'm watching My Name is Kim Sam-soon, which is another Nuna romance. And that one stars Yoon Bin. Hey, Binny. He's so cute. So I can't really, like, this one is good too. Oh, so okay. So what I love about this character, because I'm not going to go much into it because I'm still watching it, Kim Sam-soon. But what I love is the female lead, Kim Sam-soon, is played by Kim Soon-ah, which is also from one of my not favorite, but it has one of my favorite scenes in a K-drama, because it stars Lee Jung-wook, who's currently in, who was in Goblin as the Reaper, and who's currently in Touch My Heart. But the reason I am going to talk about her briefly is I think she's one of my top female, favorite female characters in the K-drama, in the fact she doesn't take shit from anyone, not even him. Like, she doesn't, like, if she talks, like, she has no filter. Like, whatever comes to her mind, she will say, and she will cuss you clean out. And there's very few female characters like that in a K-drama. Like, she curses, but, like, if she's offended, she will let you know that you've offended her. If you're doing ignorant, she'd be like, you're being a complete fool right now. You need to stop. And she's like, I have plans. I want to do this. Like, I love that about her character. And she's very, like, real. And, like, to me, she has a normal body size, but they keep saying that she's fat overweight. I'm like,
you people that is need the to weird stop. Thing watching these, watching K-dramas, because, like, I watched Oh My Venus, and I'm like, you have a normal body type. Yeah, why are you literally going on this entire adventure to
because lose weight? Because weight is a huge thing in South Korea, unfortunately. To have where women are supposed to be thin and pale and wispy and, like, that's the only one of the few things that I dislike about, well, not few, but, is the way they talk about women's sizes. Like, so she's like, to me, Kim Sam-soo, like, they're like, she's fat. I'm like, she's literally my size, like a size 8, and she's tall, so like her weight is evenly distributed. I'm like, you people would call me obese if I was to walk over there. So that's
how I felt watching Oh My Venus. I was like, oh God, I can't go to South Korea now. What are you
gonna
think about?
I wanna go. I'm going. I'd be like, listen, I'm gonna wear my tube dresses or whatever. You people got a problem. This is your problem. You need to get the time to realize you have different body shapes. But yeah, so that's the. But I love her character, and she doesn't take anything from anyone, and she and Dave and Kim Suna and Yoonbin have great chemistry as well. He's a jerk though. But she starts him out when he does his when he does push, she like puts him in his place in an instant. She doesn't let him walk over her. So that's one thing I love about her character. So I think that's it for Nunas, because I have more, but like we got time for all of that.
Yeah.
But we talked about, let me see, my positives and so I think one of the biggest things about Nuna romances, why I like watching a lot of them, is because we for way too long in both North American and European television, like no one finds anything wrong with an older man going around with a younger woman. But from the time it's an older woman to the younger man, even if they're like 3-4 years age, they're like, oh, she's old and whatever. I'm like, no, like if it's okay for men, why can't it be okay for women? If what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Like, so that's one of the things I think is them trying to break the barriers, because they haven't been that much, but there have been a few more like consecutively in the last few years. So I think they're actually getting back onto that. Like, the writers are realizing this is something that people want to see and people enjoy watching. So Encounter is the newest one, and I'm hoping to get more of them. I think there's probably a couple more coming out this year, but I'm not sure. So that's something that we need to see, because it breaks down those stereotypes that older women are unattractive or undesirable. Yeah. And that's something that North American TV needs to get caught up on, because I can't think of any TV show currently shown in Canada or America where the main love interest is between an older woman and a younger man.
I can't either, and especially by like this large
Encounter there,
like, when is like 13, if you look
it's my which is romance is a 14 year age difference. Yeah
because like even if you like because if you look at like I mean I love Grey's Anatomy for like the first 10 seasons now that's in season 20 or whatever, but like that's always older dudes, super young women, but you don't see it going the other way.
And even if it's always like some, they always make it more about the sex and sexuality. Like, oh, she's a cougar. She's trying to get her sex on. It's like, no.
Exactly.
For the K-dramas, it's about the romance, right?
Exactly. Like, in America, you have a fetishization of it, whereas, like, an older man is just, that's just what it is, that's just what happens, whereas a woman is a cougar, and it's completely fetishized, whereas, like, when you have it here, like, they explore some of, like, the issues, like you said, like, kids and career paths and stuff like that, but those are real romantic issues that happen, and there's a reality in these romances that are so good that it's really great to see, and I completely agree there. And that's one of the things that I really like. So I'm currently watching Romance is a Bonus book on Netflix.
Oh, wait, that one is a Nuna romance, too. Yes,
it is. And she's significant. I believe she's pretty older than him too. I think it's at least 9 years. Yeah. Because she's in her late 30s, and he's in his late 20s, I think. So I think it's at least 10 years, maybe. I could be wrong. But what I love about it is she's so strong in like this different way. Like she, there's this line that she has in, I think it's like the second episode, where she says, I've cried enough this, I cried all my tears this last year. Like, essentially just saying, I'm done. I'm done crying. Like, I have cried. I have lived it. My life was at the complete bottom. And you know what? All I can do is go up. And I'm not going to deal with this anymore. And it's just, it's so good to, like, just to see her. Like, she has power in herself. And she is doing stuff for herself. And it's something that's really, really great to see. It's only on episode 6 now. They release 2 episodes every Saturday. If you want to jump on that and talk about it with me on Twitter. But it's really, really good. And it has one of my favorite guys. Where's his name? Lee Jung-suk.
Because he's in While You Were Sleeping. And he was also in another Lunar romance called I Hear Your Voice. So that one has another significant age group. That one is 10 years age group. That one he's...
Okay.
And that one is a 10 year. That one is a thing because he was 19, 20. But they met. They knew each other from like years ago. But then they met back up when he was about 19. He's in high school. But the thing is, like, that sounds awful. But then when you look at it for Korean... high school, like, they stay in, like, high school, like, long, because they do, like, a whole bunch of courses that, like, so that when they get into college, they have, like, a whole bunch of courses covered, so they actually stay in school, like, up to 19, 20, 21 years old. So when you read this now, so you're, like, high school student, I'm like, but then you're, like, okay, he's not, like, 16, 15 years old, like, he's a man. But that one is also really good, too. That one, they also have really good chemistry as well. And so I Hear Your Voice. So that's another one you guys can check out. So we're going on to move into case category, which is fantasy.
Oh, we have to talk about fantasy because K-dramas do it so well. So well. So I want to start with the most, I guess let's just start with While You Were Sleeping, because we were just talking about Lee Jung-suk. And he is in While You Were Sleeping. And While You Were Sleeping, if you want to watch it right now and you have Hulu, you can do it.
Oh, it's on Hulu, on too? There.
It's on Hulu. That's how I watched it. It's really, really good. It focuses on... Let me get her name. So we follow Nong Hong-joon, played by Bae Suzy. And she... When she falls asleep, she has dreams of the future. And she's been having this since she was a kid. And it eventually leads to her meeting Jung Jae-chan, who is played by Lee Jung-suk. And their paths intersect in that, what happens? Like, I don't want to say too much. Because an accident. Like, if I say what makes
this
them
is one of the shows that you really can't spoil it. Because this show has amazing plot twists.
It unweaves, and, so and when I was about to say how they get, like, what actually connects them, like, that's a
huge
spoiler.
So, you
like,
can't.
Just watch the show. It's just, it's so good. They come together in an accident, in a car accident, and you just see how their lives intersect throughout. But the really cool thing here that I like is you have this use of premonition and foretelling that is not, like, over the head. It's, like, used practically. Like, if I knew where my crush was going to be going on his bus ride and I knew it was going to rain, I'd show up with an umbrella.
Yeah, that's at the beginning. So, like, nice spoiler. When I was, like, in the first episode, in the first few minutes. So.
Yeah.
Well, not first few minutes, but it's in the first episode.
Yeah. It's the first episode. Yeah. But, no, you all should watch it. It is really, really good. But it's this concept of taking... it has, like, this deep, deep fantastical grounding, but it is all very real. Like, all of it, like, they're real characters, they're real situations, and you're just watching this fantastical thread weave them all together. And that's what makes it really, really beautiful storytelling.
Right. It's that, and also... What's it? And the relationships between the characters... So like one of my favorite things is okay, so it also stars my boo from Something in the Rain. So he's kind of like the third, he's kind of like what you call the second lead. So there's this thing called second lead syndrome in K-dramas where you kind of fall in love with the second male lead and you kind of want him to be with the first.
Which I did.
Yeah, you love him. Yep. I love him too. That's our boo from Something in the Rain, Jung Ye-in. And it's like, he's hot. And, but like, I love his character and he's in love with the female lead, which is totally understandable. But the thing is with him is there's no jealousy. And I love that about
He's selfless.
But the thing is both him and Jae-chan, Jae-chan knows that he likes that he likes Hong-ju, right? But there's no animosity between them. There's none of this whole machismo, none of this toxic masculinity where they're like trying to get her attention. He's like, she chose you and I'm going to respect that. Right? And they're, and they're
like,
still best friends.
And, like, they hang out like friends. Right. Yeah, they hang out like friends. They're best friends. They sit and they eat together. And it's, they're there for each other. And it's, like, this idea that, like, everybody in the main cast, right? Like, or, like, our leads, our protagonists, not our antagonists, but our protagonists have each other's best interests at heart. And that's all they care about. And there's something that is just so pure and good about it that makes it makes you really root for them as they start fighting these other forces around them.
Yeah, it's I don't want to talk too much about this show because I think this show has one of the best. I don't think I've seen a I take that back because Healer has a pretty good way how they use small little items, like small things that you think are inconsequential to the plot, and they bring it right back in, and you from like 10 episodes ago, you'd be like, oh snap, that's what is happening. You'd be like, I thought that was like a throwaway sentence, or that thing that they looked at was unimportant, but they bring it back, and you're like, that's amazing.
Nothing is insignificant
nothing in
this
show. Nothing. If the snow falls, the snow means something. Yep. Right? I just love that show. I love it. I think it's probably my. After Goblin, While You Were Sleeping is my second favorite K-drama. Like, I just love it. Like, I love the cast, the acting, because it has one of my favorite Andrew Shees. So I just have to mention him because it's Kim Won-ae. So he's from Stronger Dubonsu. So he's the Andrew Shee in, that works in the office. So he's the one, the flamboyant one, the gay guy. And he's amazing. This actor is one of my favorite actors. He's amazing. I just have to give him props because he's like, I just love this actor. He's so good.
So going into the next one that I have, and this is so While You Were Sleeping and The Legend of the Blue Sea are my two favorite shows right now because I haven't seen Goblin because Carolyn just gave me the link to it. But I could not find a service that had it. So I still have not
because
been
initiated
Drama in the Goblin.
Drama Fever shut down. It was only on Drama Fever. Drama Fever shut down to my despair.
So Carolyn will cover Goblin after we cover A Legend of the Blue Sea, which is about a mermaid.
And a realistic one, too.
It is about... Exactly. It is about a mermaid who... it is about a mermaid and the man she falls in love with. And you see, you get told two stories. You get told a story back, I think it's Joseon period. I want to say it's the Joseon period. You get a story being told during the Joseon period between a man and a mermaid. And then you have a current story in our current time being told about a man and a mermaid. And through as the show develops, you see the pieces, how they link together. And how the love has lasted over lifetimes. But the really, really cool thing that you see here is there's like that born sexy yesterday trope that gets really, really played where you just have like you have this really, really beautiful woman who knows nothing. And all she is just beautiful. And everybody is taking care of her. And I hate it so much. And this show could have easily fallen into that because she's a mermaid that comes on land. But it doesn't. Like, the entirety of the show, she takes care of her business. And whenever somebody tries to help her, she just looks at them like, why?
Exactly.
Why are you helping me? Like, I can do this. And then what even happens in the very first episode, she is the one pulling everything off. And her name is, Shim Chung. And she's played like, by Jun Ji Hyun. Jun Ji Hyun. And then, Hae Jun Jae, or, Lee Min-ho is, yeah, Lee Min-ho, and I love Lee Min-ho. He's so great. He is just like, oh yeah, yeah, I took care of those people, or oh yeah, 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 I got us away from that. And she's just kind of like, okay. But you see her, and you see her in the background just taking care of business, and it continues throughout the entire show. Like, she is unaware of what the world has. But she learns quickly, and she isn't frightened by it. She keeps moving through it, and she adapts. And that is something that I have not seen done. And you know what? People give me shit for not liking Wonder Woman so much, but that's one of the reasons why I didn't like Wonder Woman, because there was a lot of the Born Sexy Yesterday trope, and it wasn't necessarily done well. Here, you never for once get the sense that he has to protect her. And she is in control, and it is amazing, and I love it so much. And the mermaid design is gorgeous.
I love her mermaid outfit, because it doesn't look tacky, and it, like, it makes sense, and it looks so good. And she used, because, like, it's a real fin that they put on her, and she works that fin really well. And I love this, and one of the things, like, that bugs me about some K-dramas is how they make the women seem, like, incompetent, like, they can't handle. And that's another thing with Nuna romances that bugs me is, like, the woman is older, so, like, it really bugged me with the WhatsApp Fox. She's older, and yeah, she's, like, when they had sex with her first time, she was 33. But, like, you may, even though you have never had sex, that doesn't mean that you're, like, you don't know how sex is done. You don't know how to, that doesn't mean you don't know things. Like, that is, like, you know what I mean? Like, I hate that, but.
Or you're incapable of, like,
any passion. Friend for the chemistry, right? Intimacy. Yeah. Like, why did you kiss me? Because he wants to have sex with you? Why are you acting like he's trying to rip your, like, no. Yeah. But for her, she wanted him to kiss her. And she's like, you know what I mean? And that's one of the things I love about, like, so, like, let me see. Goblin was like that. While You Were Sleeping was like that. Legend of Blue Sea. Another fantasy one that I'm going to talk about briefly, My Love from the Star. Like, these female characters, like, they own their sexuality. They're not afraid to, like, engage in intimacy, right? And I love that about her character in Legend of the Blue Sea. Like, she's very take-charge, and she, like, if something needs to be done, she's going to figure out how to do it herself.
Yeah.
Like, so good.
Oh, yeah. And I cannot recommend this highly enough. I fell in love with it. So, and it was also, like, seeing a lot of the period costuming, and I was like, okay, I gotta go watch more periods now. And then Kingdom came out, and that was perfect for me. And then I watched Mr. Sunshine, and, like, I'm just like, okay, give me all the period clothes.
Give me all the please. Fashion.
These are gorgeous. The fashion. We haven't even talked about the fashion.
We can probably see that for the end.
Yeah. Okay, let's save it for the day. Okay, you go into Goblin now.
Okay, my love for Goblin knows no bounds. Anyone who follows me on Twitter knows that I love this show. Okay, so let me give you a synopsis of Goblin, because I gotta pause for a gush. So it's called Goblin, the Lonely and Great God. So the premise for the show is Kim Shin, which is played by Yu Gong, my boo from Train to Busan and from Coffee Prince, one of the best K-dramas I've seen, is a goblin who is a protector of souls. He lives together with an amnesiac Grim Reaper played by Lee Dong-wook, who is currently showing in Touch My Heart, who is in charge of taking deceased souls to the afterworld. And so together, the two of them see the dead off into the afterlife. Meanwhile, Ji Yeon Tak, played by Kim Go Eun, is a high school student who, despite her painful reality, remains optimistic. She ends up falling in love with the goblin Kim Shin. Now, again, remember I explained that when you see Sundays. Oh, I just got Sundays. When you see the word high school student in a plot synopsis, you get like, eh. But again, she's 19 turning 20, so it's like not this gross, inappropriate thing where she's 15, 16 going with this man. No, none of that. Yeah. First thing first, can I? Oh no, we're gonna talk about the fashion after, because I think this has one of my favorite wardrobes ever in a K-drama. Like, the men can wear these coats and these suits. But the thing I love about this show is he, because of his, because Goblin, Kim Shin, he has this kind of solitary existence because he's immortal. He was killed and he was cursed by a god for killing someone that was, because he had, no, this is a plot point, I can't spoil it. Okay, so he was cursed by a god with immortality, so he was living, so he's about 900 years old at the start of Goblin, and he finds out he has this connection, this predestined connection with Untak. So, like, their connection is that his job is to be her protector, because she has a tattoo on her neck that if something happens, like, it kind of like lights up, and like he teleports, because he can teleport, he has like power, so he can teleport, he can move things with, he has telekinesis, he has this magical sword which is totally awesome, and he's like super strong, and he has like almost like a photographic memory, because everything that he has read or he's seen throughout his life, he remembers with like perfect clarity. So if he read a book like 800 years ago, he can remember everything from the book. If he saw something happen 800 years ago, he can remember it with like perfect clarity. So like that's one, I guess you could say, one of his powers. But he has this lonely existence because it's just him and the Grim Reaper. And they have kind of like an uneasy friendship at first. So when he meets Untak, like, she's kind of like bubbly and lively, and she's like, He acts like she's bothering him, because he's like, why are you hanging around me? Why are you always turning up? And she's like, I didn't turn up. You're the one who turned up, right? She's like, you're the one. He's like, you summoned me. She's like, no, I didn't. He's like, yeah, you did. So like they start to like, and it wasn't immediately a romance. Like they started as friends, and like she's like, I'm gonna help you to like loosen up and that kind of stuff. And I appreciate that, because he doesn't treat her like a child. Like, he treats her as an adult, as his equal. And yeah, he can protect her, but if something happens, she's like, I can handle it myself as well. And I love that about the relationship. And he does step in if he needs to, but he'll like watch it. He'll be like, do I need to step in? And he'll do that. But one of my favorite things about this drama, which a lot of people love, is the bromance. And this is between Reaper and Goblin. They are hilarious. This is one of the funniest dramas. It's a fantasy, but like, I didn't expect the comedy. It is freaking hilarious. And they get into these little arguments, and they're always like snipping at each other, and it's amazing. It's beautiful. The cinematography is gorgeous. The special effects are really, really good. The fashion. I want everyone's wardrobe. Give me all the coats. Give me all the jackets. Give me everything. It's the same with, because I told you this before, some of my favorite clothes is from Encounter and from... Yeah. A Witch's Romance. In A Witch's Romance, I want every single outfit she wore. Give it to me. But I just love this show. It's beautiful. It's funny. It's heartwarming. It makes me cry. I've seen it 3-4 times already. And every single time, I am a bawling, weeping mess of tears, snot rolling down. I'm just in my feels, clutching a cushion. But I love it. Like... Give me all the emotion. I get emotionally invested in these romances, in these shows. I do. And this is one of the things I love them. You tear my heart up, but you repair it. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's how I've been. Like, I watch these shows, and it's been one of those things, like, because I've been having, like, a really stressful time. It's been like, well, I want to watch a K-drama because I'm throwing all of myself into that show. Like, when I watch it, I am entirely invested. I'm not thinking about other things. I'm just going with them. And which sucks, because at the end of Mr. Sunshine, I cried.
I found out what happens, and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, no. That's one of the reasons that I don't want to watch it, because I'm like, no, I need to watch Happy Feelings. I need Happy Feelings.
Girl, reading it and watching it. Because I read ahead because I was curious. Like, oh my god, this is 24 episodes. This is the longest K-drama that I've seen. I was like, oh, I'm just going to read ahead for a second. It's a historical period. Oh, whatever. I read. I was like, oh, that sucks.
And then you're right. It sucks even more now.
Oh my god. It is so tragic. And it pulled my heart out. And I cried so much that, like, 2 hours after the show was
you're
gone,
still
I
crying?
Was walking around the house. And I could feel... just like everything, like all the pain in my face from
all
crying
of it.
Uncontrollably.
Oh, it's so real.
And like, I would think about it, and I'd be like, "Oh my god, that really
hurts."
It Yeah, it's good. It's good. And the main female character is amazing. Yeah. She's so cool.
It gives you like the catharsis. Heart. I think that's what like Goblin. Goblin doesn't end sadly, but there's a few episodes like I'm a sobbing mess. That's like with same thing happened with an Encounter. There's like a couple episodes where I was like, I cannot rewatch. Like for Encounter, like I would literally like watch two episodes because it came on one episode one day and then the second episode the second day, and I would literally watch the episodes before they were even finished subtitles. I'd watch them strictly with like just the Korean, and then I'd watch them again at the end of the night with the subtitles. But there's two episodes where I'm like, I cannot rewatch you because it hurts too much. But and then there's in While You Were Sleeping, there's a scene, you know the one I'm talking about, where I felt I was a weeping mess. I'm like,
I yelled and Matt ran into the room like, Oh my God, are you okay? And I was like, he's like, are you crying because of that show? I was like, yes, I am. Do you know what just happened?
you don't understand. Like you,
and he just looked at me like, okay, I'm gonna go over there, and I'll console you when we cuddle in the to sleep. But right now, I can't be like this. This is confusing, and I'm just bawling. You're
like a full day. That's one of the reasons I refuse to watch Scarlet Heart Rio, because I know what happens, and I refuse to let my heart be torn out like that. I refuse. I absolutely refuse. But
I'm trying to think if there. So like when I think about K dramas and like romances, I think the only ones I haven't cried. During the I Need Romances ones, I didn't cry. I didn't cry in Secretary Kim.
No, because there's no reason in Secretary Kim to cry.
Yeah, no. There's no reason to cry in there. I haven't cried in Romance as a Bonus Book yet.
Probably though, for something like this, there's probably going to be an episode where like
there's going to be something. There's going to be something. I did cry in something. Yes, I cried so hard. Yeah, and it's not even, like, anything incredibly tragic that happens. It's just, like, I'm so invested in this relationship, and I feel like I related.
I related to her a lot about the whole lack of self-confidence, because I used to be, like, I used to have a lot of self-doubt and that kind of stuff. So, I'm, like, I saw a lot of myself in her, so I cried a lot, and I got a lot emotional. And another one that really tore me, that really had me in, like, a puddle was... Another fantasy one, My Love from the Star. Oh, like, listen. Like, the last two episodes. Sobbing mess. Because it ends happily, but these writers know how to just, like, take your heart and squeeze it. And, like, I'm going to make you feel these emotions. I'm going to make you feel them. And I'm like, yeah. That one left me. My sister came and saw me in the bedroom clutching and bawling my eyes out in my pillow. I'm like, yeah, you don't understand what just happened.
Gosh. Okay. So, if you're listening and you're looking for a show to throw yourself into with great production quality, pick up a K-drama. There are plenty of options on Hulu and Netflix, and there is a free subscription for Viki. The commercials suck, and they are badly timed. I will tell you,
it's actually worth it to pay for the what's it? I have the premium. I don't think, but I think I pay like $6.
Is it like the plus?
The plus, like, yeah, Viki Plus, and you don't get the commercials. So that one is thing, because you can you can actually comment on the video. So Viki has this really cool, this neat thing where you can actually press a click on the, it's on the top right hand side of the screen, and like you can turn on or turn off comments. So this is where you can see people commenting on the show, and you can add your own comments. So like sometimes it's fun if you watch a drama now and then you comment, and then like 2 months later you can rewatch, because I've done that. You can rewatch and see your own comments, and then see people actually responding to your comment. So they'll be like at LC, so that means at the last comment, so you'll see people actually responding to your previous comments. But I think it's actually worth it to pay for, so you don't get not only the commercials, but you get to be able to comment, and you get like, you can actually get like prizes and stuff, but I don't get, because I'm in Canada and we get stuff to you a lot. Boo. But Viki is a fantastic service. There's another one called
It also offers sub I was going to say, too, it also offers, when you read subtitles, you can put on learning yes. mode, where it'll put the Korean above the yeah. English subtitles. And when you hover over it, it'll actually tell you what that word is translating and how to pronounce it. It's really, really cool. I use that sometimes.
Yeah, because I use it too. I use it because I'm learning Korean. I'm learning Korean now too, and I can read Hangul. I just need to work on my vocabulary and find out what the words actually mean. But it's a very helpful tool, and I just think the reason one of the reasons I love K-dramas is because it helps. It's a great tool to learn about other cultures. Yeah, some things are tropes, and like it's fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's like not reality, but there's a lot of things that you still learn about their culture and about different things. And yeah, we're talking mainly about romances, but there's like a whole bunch of other genres. There's crime, there's psychological thrillers, there's sci-fi. Like one of my favorite sci-fi ones is kind of like mystery, which is like healer, and then you have like lawless lawyer, which is more like legal drama kind. Because they have like legal dramas and mysteries and horrors and then thrillers. Like one of my favorite one is Sketch starring Rain. He is so good looking. But there's a whole bunch of other stuff, and we didn't really talk about it, but the fashion, like if you want to see like people, men that know how to wear a suit, my gosh, you need to watch a K-drama. Yes. What's wrong with Security Kim in particular? Like every suit that man wore.
Oh my god, every close up of that man's waist where he flips the suit back to put his hands on his so hips extra. Or in his pockets. I was like, oh.
He can wear a suit.
Oh my god. This is so good. Oh, it's great. There's a lot there. And if you don't, like Carolyn said, this is just one of the things. We just talked about, like, romances and a little bit of fantasy, but there's so much more out there. So much more. I have a question, though. Would Secret Affair be considered a Nuna romance?
Yes.
No,
yes.
Right?
Or Secret Affair with Yuain, who was also in Burning. Yes. Yeah, that's a Nuna romance. Yes. Okay, so briefly I'm going to get into this one. Good God, the chemistry. Good
it
God,
was insane.
The chemistry.
The first time he plays the piano with her, I was like, what? Oh my God.
What? Listen. Woo! I have never, like, when the two of them play together, it's like, what is happening here? Like,
yeah,
you can cut the sexual tension with a knife. It's like, good Lord.
It's pretty much sex.
Basically.
It's pretty
piano
much sex.
Sex.
It's phenomenal. I mean, like, the amount of chemistry that two actors have to do that. They're just playing the piano, fully clothed.
And if anything, I would also say another couple that has amazing chemistry is in the K2. And it's not even the main lead, it's not even the main characters. It's the main lead, and then there's this she's the antagonist basically. She's like basically the villainess. And I'm like, I wouldn't mind if he got with the bad guy. Like, I'm like, this is the one time I would not mind if the lead, the hero, got with the villain, because damn, there's a scene where they have, and he has her pinned against the wall. He's threatening her life. But I'm like, I should not find this sexy, but I do.
Not gonna lie, there's something about like walls where I'm just like,
because that's the thing, okay, drums are to push you against the wall. So, okay, so the lead is Ji Chang-wook, and he's a great, great kisser. And the lady that I'm talking about is Song Yuna. No, they would be a Nuna romance if they were to ever start in a show together as a couple. It would be a Nuna romance because she's older. But I want it. I want them in a romance because, woo! My computer screen might fog up. I swear to you. Like, I'm not even joking. That's in episode 1 or 2. Even if you don't watch the rest of the show, if you can find a clip of that scene, not even every scene they have together is like ridiculous. I'm like, the director should have been like, you know what? How about we switch you, put you as the lead, the female lead, and take the girl who's supposed to be their heroine and put her as the villainess, because I don't really care about her. But I would have done that. I'm telling you, I would have done that.
Oh, okay. Whew. So, final thoughts, I guess. if we can pull this all together. Okay, let's do this. Let's give final. I guess we've kind of talked about what we love about K-dramas. What would be two K-dramas that you would recommend to somebody looking to get started?
I would recommend for romance, in which, because the thing is there's different types.
In anything, okay,
so
really.
I would definitely recommend Stronger Du Bon Soon. Now, the reason I recommend Stronger Du Bon Soon is, as I said, what really got me into it is, what took me out the first time I watched it was because of the graphics and the sound effects. And even in some K-dramas, like, even in, like, ones that have a serious tone, like, you will hear, like, little sound effects, like, people would be blinking, yeah. Or you hear, like, a dog barking, you're like, what the hell? But I think they do it as a way to, like, lighten the mood, which... And it may seem weird, but even in, like, a thriller like Black, it actually works.
Yes.
It's like, you're like, you know what? Like, the little sound effects actually don't take me out of it. So I would recommend Stronger Du Bon Soon for that. Because if you can get past that, everything else is a cakewalk after. And then the second one, so, like, Stronger Du Bon Soon is more lighthearted romance. And then I would also recommend Black. So the reason I would recommend Black because it's dark. And so it's like the two spectrums, like the two opposite sides of the spectrum that I would recommend. So there's Black. And that one I also recommend because these are supernatural and it deals with grief and death. And that one also has a really good plot twist as well. So, or While You Were Sleeping. Those three. Yeah, I would use those three to introduce people.
Two of mine will be the same, Black and While You Were Sleeping, because I think Black also offers, it offers a lot of physicality, mm-hmm. so a lot of fight choreography, yes. some action, mm-hmm. thriller, crime, like it's kind of everything rolled into one, and even a romance, and then, which I've just gotten to that part, I still haven't finished Black for some reason, but it's amazing from what I've seen, and I need to finish it. But that is something that's really accessible and hits on, like, all mm-hmm. points in one show. While You Were Sleeping, I highly recommend because the level of storytelling is so, so good. And then I would also recommend probably Legend of the Blue Sea, just because it's really fun. You get a little bit of heist in there. It's those would be the ones that I would recommend.
I agree. And, because if I was to do fantasy, apart from Legend of the Blue Sea, I would also do My Love from the Star, which has the same actress. And that one, mm-hmm. now that one, as I said, it tore my heart out in a couple episodes, but that one also has really good production quality as well. Heck, even the intro is one of the best intros I've seen. Like, the graphics, like, the way how they do the scene transitions in the intro is, like, that one's from 2013. That one is really good. And I was thinking another one, if you want something with action, if you want to start out with something with action, Sketch. Sketch is, like, the fight choreography in Sketch is so good. And the two main actors, they did their own stunts. Because Rain is from Ninja Assassins. That's
Rain.
Him. The guy from Ninja Assassins.
Oh my god.
Is him.
I love that man. So I love him so much. I saw that movie in theaters.
I tried watching it in theaters and I couldn't see. I tried watching on VHS, could not see. Tried watching it on a DVD, did not see. It was like the director forgot to turn on the darn lights because everything is so dark.
It is a little dark. Yeah.
You could barely see the action. What's going on? But like, so Sketch is another great one because that one is like action. Mystery, crime, thriller, because he's a police officer and he's trying to catch this serial killer-ish kind of guy. But the fight choreography is fan-freaking-tastic. And the fact that the two actors do their own stunts makes it even more believable and everything is super real. Great storyline, great writing, great cinematography. The way how the fight scenes are filmed is really good. So if you want something in that genre, I would recommend Sketch.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for getting together with me and talking about K-dramas.
We have to do this again
like
soon.
So, I know we do because there's so much more we need to talk about. Oh gosh,
we really should
good.
Start a K-drama podcast.
Like a different trope every episode.
A different, you know what? That's a good idea. Even a different trope or just like covering episodes, like just like episodic recaps because there's so many coming out at the same time. So we could do our favorite ones. If you do bi-weekly, we can do like our favorite, if you're watching the show, we can do like our favorite moments from an episode, like whatever. Like, I just want to talk about it. I just love talking about K-dramas. I do.
I do too. I really, really do. And I am hoping that everybody listening here is ready to get into K-dramas or already loves them and are going to comment on this episode's tweet and tell us your favorites. Yes. And tell us why. And also come in with some thirst tweets for us so we can all love these beautiful, beautiful men.
Yes, together. Because God bless whoever, God bless the directors when they realize, you know what, the male body is amazing, and instead of getting women's boobs flashing all, that's another thing I appreciate about K-dramas. In North American shows, it's always about the woman's sexuality. No, K-drama is about the man. And there's this thing called the official third rule where there has to be a steamy shower scene with a male lead shower, and by God, bless you, K-drama directors.
That's what I was going to say. Like, the last three K-dramas that I have watched have had at least one shower scene, like, every three episodes. And I'm just like, and
the majority of them do.
It's so good.
The K2, the one from K2. And then there's my favorite 1% of something.
Also, super small, but, like, one of the things I've really learned to appreciate, too, is when they're reading text messages in K-dramas, they'll pop it up on
the
screen.
So you can see.
And it's in Korean, but, like, they'll pop up, like, the message, and now the message is read, and then they read the message over, so you don't just have, like, random person looking at it.
Yes, you can see.
You actually have, like, the images on there, and it's
yeah,
so
you'll
good.
See, like, the emojis it's and
like
everything.
Little thing. Yes! It's like a little tiny thing, but it just works to immerse you so much more. It makes you feel exactly. like you're getting
oh,
that
and
text.
So then we also have to, so this is, we're going to end now, but I have to shout out to the Summers for Vicky, because the Summers for Vicky are amazing because they actually give you the translations for things like text messages. And they give you, they do that. Like, because okay. they show the text messages on the screen, they'll actually tell you what the translation is. And, like, if someone makes, like, a reference to, like, a allegory or something, they'll, and if it's, like, a Korean idiom, they'll actually tell you what it means. And I appreciate that. So, props, if any subbers are listening, like, props to you guys for that, because it actually helps you to understand the culture better.
That is really awesome. okay, so, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
So, again? You can find me on Twitter talking about K-dramas. And if you want to talk about K-dramas, if you need any recommendations, come to me at CarrieCNH12 on Twitter. You can listen to my podcast. So, here's what happened. At SHWH_POD, which is hosted by the By What Though podcast community. And like the, and that show, me and my co-host Lanisha, we discuss our top TV, film, and book recommendations for the month. And our one for January included Kingdom, which is a K-drama horror series mini because it's 6 episodes. And you can find me on Twitter talking about that. Like, you can follow our podcast and listen to me talking about TV shows and about films and about books. And that's what I do. And currently, if you want to know what I'm currently watching, I'm currently watching as of tonight. I might finish it because I have no work tomorrow. I'm watching My Name is Kim Samsoon, but also Touch My Heart. And it's hard because it's showing weekly. And watching a K-drama weekly is emotionally exhausting because you can't wait for the next episode to load up. And you have to wait a full week. It's torture. But yeah, that's me.
I am currently watching Memories of Alhambra. However, now I'm worried because you said it ends
it
bad.
It doesn't end bad. It's literally the last 2 minutes of it. I'm like, no. Give me
okay,
a season
okay.
two.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. Because that's how I was with Altered Carbon. I loved the show up until the very, very end.
Yeah, I was like, right or
and
what
And I
doing?
Was like, why are you doing this?
And if anything, you know what? We should do a thing because we can talk about that. Because then we can talk about female stress. Because I'm sure there's some of you noticed that I had a big problem with Memories of Alhambra. Ooh, that writer. But yeah, but that show is worth watching if you like sci-fi and if you like things with good VFX, because the premise of it is actually really good. It has a really good premise, and I hope they do a season 2 so it gets explored more. But yes.
Yeah. Oh, and if you don't know, Netflix is doing a lot of Netflix original K-dramas now, so you have access to them. So get in on it. Get into it. It's there for you. And you can find the podcast at But Why the PC on all of the social medias. Interact with us. Tell us what you think, what your favorite K-dramas are. Definitely pick Carolyn's brain for some recommendations. She is spot on, and it got me to my love of K-drama where I am today. And you can find me at Oh My Myth Randir on Twitter. And that's it. That's
the Thank show. You so much, guys, for listening. I recommend share with your friends.
Yes, yes. And thank you so much for coming on.
Of course, you know me. Anytime.